Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our conversation this hour. I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, James Santel. And you all are welcome to join in this discussion, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you're not going to want to go anywhere at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have some more news for you. We'll have some of that Tom Tiffany sounds. We've got a couple that I'm going to play for you in just a moment here. And we're going to have State Senator Kel DeRoy's candidate for the Wisconsin governor's office joining us, as well as the word to win in the 5 o'clock hour for Civic Media's multi-state text to win green and gold contest. So you're not going to want to go anywhere all afternoon. Jim, let's get back to this topic. One of my favorite texters, our good friends, Mark from Sussex, has been texting me. He's a conservative gentleman. He's been texting me about this decision from the Supreme Court, saying, thank you, Supreme Court, for doing this. And here is the thing. And I want to talk about a couple of other elements that make this shadow docket ruling yesterday quite shocking. When we lose the independence of federal agencies, let's think about what the agency's functions are, right? If you're talking about the Securities and Exchange Commission, if you're talking about the Federal Trade Commission, if you're talking about the FCC, if you're talking about the National Labor Relations Board, all of these organizations, I should say agencies, basically are there, and I'm going to make a sweepingly broad and very oversimplified statement here, but they are there to protect the little guy from those that have immense wealth and power. Stay with me here, folks. I'll just take the Federal Reserve. They're trying to balance inflation and unemployment. That is their congressional mandate. Why? It's not because billionaires are going to end up in breadlines. It's because you will. That's why it's important for the Federal Reserve to remain independent. If you own a small business and inflation explodes, guess what? Walmart isn't closing. Your small business is. The same goes with stagflation. If we have the combination of burgeoning growing unemployment and growing inflation, I can go on and on. The Securities and Exchange Commission, they're not actually worried about if Jeff Bezos loses some money because somebody lies in a 10K filed with the SEC. The SEC is really worried about if you and your 401K are lied to and suffer the adverse financial implications of material misrepresentations in the publicly filed documents required by the SEC by publicly traded corporations. The EPA isn't worried about whether or not Elon Musk has clean air and water to drink, nor is the FDA worried about whether George Soros or Peter Thiel have safe meat and vegetables to eat. They're worried about you. And so if you rob all of these agencies of their independence, if you drive out all of the scientists that do objective research, all of the good data analysts, it's not the Peter Thiels or the George Soroses or the Elon Musks or the Donald Trumps that will suffer. It is you. And whether you voted for him and think he's the second coming of Jesus Christ or not, the consequences for regular Americans are not avoidable here. So with that, Jim, I just wanted to return and talk a little bit about some of these very specific elements of this shadow docket decision. Yes. That I think make it so, so shocking. I'm going to begin with this. These requests for intervention to stay lower court's orders that go up to the Supreme Court in the shadow docket, which require the Supreme Court to effectively render a decision that may alter the status of the parties in that case and have wide-reaching implications. First of all, it's important for people to know that the Supreme Court reaches those decisions without full argument or briefing by the parties.
Which most often takes months, right, Maggie?
Months.
We're a couple of weeks from now, we're going to have a new term of the Supreme Court. You're going to see arguments for hours on end. That follows briefs being written, and they're going to be thinking about these decisions for a long period of time. None of that here. Within days after the Solicitor General, a guy named John Sauer, goes to the Supreme Court and says, emergency, emergency. Overturn what lower courts, typically two lower courts, a district court and appellate court, have done. Do it right now. And within hours, days later, the Supreme Court, without more than a mention of what the case may be about, as is the case yesterday, says, sure, we're going to give the president what he wants to have here, and changes the dynamic, as you said, of these agencies for a long period of time, if not indefinitely. That's the problem with all of this.
And yesterday, one of the things that's so interesting to consider, like the extraordinariness of what the Supreme Court is doing, not only did the Supreme Court throw out 90 years of precedent, this is this case, you'll hear wonks talk about it, it's Humphrey's executor. You don't need to remember the name of the case, but the case stood for the principle that when Congress says that you have to have cause to fire people from certain positions, they actually meant it, and that's what the balance of powers and co-equal branches of government mean.
And Humphrey's executor, right? Was actually about the Federal Trade Commission. We're not another agency.
About this very agency,
it was this very agency, the same kind of thing. 90 years ago, it's been precedent ever since that time. And again, Elena Kagan says, what are we doing here? You're basically acting illegally, is what she says in her dissent, by not only going against that precedent, but doing something that Congress once again prohibited as a part of its commission of the FTC.
But here are these, and here's what is, the Supreme Court is the activist court, the conservative wing of the Supreme Court, is now the activist court that conservatives derided for 25 years. Here's why. Generally speaking, stays that come up to the Supreme Court on the shadow docket are generally brought by the party where the status quo is changing, okay? The status quo here is that cause is required and the person stays in the job. The Supreme Court in this and all of the other cases where Donald Trump flouted Congress's authority and the constitutional balance of powers and decided to fire someone without cause, all of these cases where the Supreme Court greenlights that, removes an acting commissioner or other federal agency official without that cause. So it's not only going against precedent, it's upsetting the status quo, which used to be verboten. Basically, it was not the purpose of the shadow docket, which dates back to death penalty cases. To wit, you stay the execution because the alternative would be that the person dies.
Right. You can't get that one wrong. You can't get that one wrong.
Right.
Right.
And here they're totally unconcerned with that. The second thing is that they have now granted certiorari before judgment was rendered on the merits in the lower court. So the typical order of business is trial court reviews. There's either jury verdict or decision rendered by the trial court. Then they appeal to the federal appeals court. The appeals court renders its judgment. Then that is finally appealed to the Supreme Court. Here, that entire process has been bypassed. So not only are they acting against 90 years of precedent, not only are they subverting the status quo? Not only are they stripping Congress's authority away from it in contravention of the constitutional order established by our founding fathers, they're doing it on an expedited basis, which is completely unnecessary and unrequired here. It is truly, truly shocking.
And Maggie, and if Kagan, I can also note that in the very, very skeletal statement coming from the Chief Justice, who did this yesterday, he also identifies what the questions are that they're going to ask. And I think he's signaling very clearly, horrifically, what is on the minds of the Supreme Court. He says, the questions we're going to talk about when we review this, not only Humphrey's executor, but the entire issue, is whether the removal protections for members of the Federal Trade Commission violate the separation of powers. And oh, by the way, whether a federal court can prevent a person's removal from public office through relief, equity, or law, those are questions that are loaded. And they are plainly envisioning not a balanced review of this whenever this comes up, but we are basically anticipating overturning, again, 90 years of precedent, and more importantly, as you have said so compellingly, changing the way that government works, changing the very thing that not just the FTC does, but the ways in which our Constitution contemplates separation of powers cannot be overstated.
And here's what Kagan says on this. The president may thereby extinguish the agency's bipartisanship and independence, quote unquote. And she concludes, our emergency docket, the shadow docket, should never be used, as it has been this year, to permit what our own Supreme Court precedent bars. She is saying the very points that Jim and I just discussed with each and every one of you. Jim, we got one of our favorite conservatives on the line. I'm sure vigorously dissents, to use the language of the Supreme Court. Welcome, CJ. Say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Hi, Mr. Cannoli and Maggie. I'm representing Donald defending that. So, because I serve at the pleasure of the president. I want to say, you know, you didn't have a problem when the Biden administration went back three times with student debt.
Okay, hang on, CJ. I'll let you finish. But the difference here, okay, is that each time the Biden administration attempted a different loan forgiveness plan, it was on different legal bases. It did not contravene or contradict, either directly or indirectly, any prior precedent of the Supreme Court. Please continue, my friend.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of merit and performance, because the Bureau of Labor and Statistics made a 911,000 job creation error that weren't created and has something to do with performance. But did you see the president kicking ass at the UN today? Wow.
So CJ, we're talking about awesome. We're talking about the Supreme Court, CJ, and BLS employment numbers are always revised since Donald Trump replaced the head. Excuse me. I am responding to what your comments were, and before you started to divert into it, not what we're talking about. The BLS guy that Donald Trump handpicked after firing the last head of statistics at the BLS actually produced jobs numbers that were worse, much, much worse than what the woman he fired produced. So that's off topic. Here's the difference here, CJ. You talked about I serve at the pleasure of the president. That's for cabinet officials and other minor appointees. That's not what we're talking about here. This is under completely different statutory authority that was Congress's to make. And to be clear here, CJ, in this very case, in the Slaughter case, the government admits that the president has not offered any cause basis for the termination, and that he should be able to do that despite the fact that Congress required the firing to be for cause. That's the problem here.
Well, can I say your party said Secretary Mayorkas did a great job.
Again, off point and backwards looking, we're looking at this administration. Stay tuned, folks. We talk about the bagman Homan on the other side. You're listening to me, Jim, and CJ sometimes here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.